been focusing on restoration, on living the story of God and what He's done for us, and on telling that story. So every speaker, we had 9 sessions, a morning and an evening session each day, and this is what we would do after each session. We had time set aside to gather up with our group and process and talk about what we've learned and share with each other, ask questions and think about them so that we understood this information we got.
Yeah, and behind us, these are some of the pictures that we took over the week. There, as you can see, there was a lot of soccer. But yeah, we had little huddles like this. So that first one was J.D. Greer, was the Sunday night. And all of these are questions that we had throughout the week. The second one, Monday morning, Reed Capel. And these, you saw all of them on the video, but the second one was about the separation after the fall. What does sin separate us from? Who has this?
Me.
Hi, what does sin separate us from?
It separates us from God.
What else does it separate us from?
Man, ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's not how it's intended to be. Guys, you can all contribute too, you know, as huddle. Okay.
Yeah, something to share. Just grab the mic. Interrupt.
And why is it important that sin has more to do about God's glory and less to do with our actual behavior?
Could you repeat the question?
Yes, please.
So we learned that sin it's not just about our actions and what we do, but it's really about our response and our understanding of God's glory and who He is. Why does that matter? Why does that make a difference than it just being about do this thing, don't do that thing?
Again, yeah. A little more.
Huh?
It's early.
Okay, so the Reed Capel talked in that session about Adam and Eve ate an apple they weren't supposed to eat.
Correct.
Right? And there was fall of mankind, and we've all inherited sin ever since. Does that seem fair?
Yes. Not at all.
Okay. Someone said no. Someone said yes. Why?
Go ahead, John.
Well, yeah, life's not fair.
The punishment doesn't seem to fit the crime, right? I mean, it's easy for us to think that way, like, oh, all they did was eat this apple. Is that really that bad? But the important thing is what?
They still sin.
Right, they still sin. They defied God, right? Because we can try to justify pretty much anything. We are really good at convincing ourselves that, oh, this is okay in this situation. Or, oh, this is okay because of this. But that's not the case, right, if we understand how great God is and what a big deal it is that we turn against Him and disobey His will. So after that fall, right, we had D.A. Horton was our next speaker. And after that fall, after that separation, right, that's hard, right? But we got something encouraging after that. God gives us something hopeful. What was that?
Promise.
That's right. Promise. And Robin, I see you looking at me. What did God promise us? What did He promise was coming?
Good stuff.
Rescue.
Rescue, all right. And that's what we got to later in the week. You crafty Robin got out of it. Yeah, after the separation, after the fall, we gave a promise, rescue. And D.A. Horton went through for us in like an hour all of the Old Testament. And from the stories He told and the things we learned and the things we saw, would you guys say that God usually keeps His promises?
Not usually. Always.
Oh, good answer.
That was
always.
A good one. I like that.
That's good. Yeah, we learned God is in the business of keeping promises. So the next speech was really interesting. What came after promise?
Silence.
Good. God is silent between the Old Testament and the New for 400 years. What did we learn about silence?
And what was that presentation?
What was that talk like? What did we experience there?
We learned that we are not very good at staying quiet.
You did learn that. Jordan, did you have something to say?
That he hasn't spoken. I mean, the reason he hasn't spoken because he always spoke.
Yeah, right. Maybe that's the reason that for 400 years they said, we don't have any new prophets or anything. We don't, because God had already spoken and his word was known.
And just because he isn't speaking doesn't mean he isn't moving.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely. Just because we're not hearing it or seeing it doesn't mean God's not. All right, so after silence, after a long time of silence, what did we have next? What did Nick Hall talk about?
Something important.
Something hugely important. That's right. What was it? What did we get promised way back? No, that's what we're on.
Oh, we're on.
Yeah.
We got rescued.
Rescued. How? So what does that mean? How has Jesus rescued you?
Again, please.
How has Jesus rescued you? Someone has this on the little
one. Here, David.
The press wants to know how Jesus
rescued. He died on the cross.
He died on the cross.
Good job.
Right?
Good job.
For your sins, right? What happened to your sins?
They were washed away.
Yeah, that's right. They're not counted against you anymore. Somebody share, how has he changed your life through that? What's different about you since Christ rescued you?
Go ahead, Nathan. Robin, what's different in your life? Very good, very good.
I know. I'm catching you guys off guard. We didn't write this on a sheet of paper.
Yeah,
but I know last week you had lots of awesome stuff to say.
You gotta give us a second to think.
This is the best way I've seen them quiet. I never saw them quiet all week.
We're still on silence.
That's right.
Could you repeat the question? I forget.
What has Jesus changed about you? What's different in your life since he's rescued you from before?
We are cleansed.
Yeah, okay. We're cleansed of our sin.
In fact, at one point in our huddle, we made a list of, we started with 10 things that God had done in rescuing us.
We got 23.
And we got 23, right? Mm-hmm.
Do you guys remember that? Robin, remember that? Okay.
How about this then? After the service sometime, corner one of these guys and ask them what Jesus has done in their life. And they'll have something to give you. So after we talked about rescue, after the speech about being rescued, right, we talked about what we're rescued to. And one of those things that we're rescued to is community. That's one of the places we were separated, right? What were the places we were separated?
From God.
From God and?
Ourselves.
Ourselves and?
Community.
Yeah, other people. Right? We were separated from mankind. We're separated from other people. But one of the things we're rescued to is a restored community, all right, and our relationships with each other. How does God meet our needs through other people? And how can he help us meet other people's needs?
You know this. I don't remember what I was going to say.
It's all right. Just think about it right now. How has God helped meet your needs through other people?
He gave me lots of people to play soccer with this week.
All right, he gave you friendship and community and support, right? What about in your walk with him? How does God use other people to meet your needs?
Prayer.
Prayer?
Prayer.
Definitely.
Is this thing on?
Are you saying anything into it?
Yes.
Okay.
You're kind of pointing. Wait.
Better?
Oh, yeah.
So how can God use you then to help meet other people's needs?
Sharing the word.
Sharing the word, right? Spreading his gospel to them so they can hear it.
Prayer.
Prayer for them, yeah, definitely. Community. And then we talked about being rescued to, and this was part of the theme of challenge, you see it up there, rescued to live the story, right? What does it look like to live the story? What's that? Being a pastor?
No, bald.
Is that the only way? How can we live the story? What does that look like to do?
Let God lead.
Let God lead, okay, definitely. In our decisions, in our actions, right? Try to model him. What else? Who had this question on their sheet? What does it look like to live the story? I don't know. Maybe nobody has it.
The speaker was about the neighbor, remember, that was difficult to love. And, yeah.
Okay, ask the question again now.
Okay. what did it look like when they were loving their neighbor? And how, yeah, what did it look like?
To love them as family and not just to love them. Like,
yeah, like they're not.
Like a fake love, like.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. Not just like a project, right?
Yeah.
But I knew this clock up there. Yeah, to live the story. And why is it so important to live the story before we talk about the story? What difference does that make to people?
Because if we live it, we have good stories. If we don't live it, it's gossip.
Yeah, that's for sure. It affects the stories we tell. What else? If I'm telling you about Jesus, but my life doesn't match up with what I'm telling you, do you buy it? Do you believe me?
Not really.
Right. But what if they match up?
We believe you.
Right. If we live the story, if we live it out in our actions, then when we tell the story, people are going to get it, right? Because they've seen it. And as they say, oh, I can't, okay, I see that, it makes sense. And then Jeff talked the next day, right, and you guys were at this speaker without us. They pulled us off, Lucas, Holly, Matt and I off to a different room, and you guys got to be on your own. And Jeff Vanderstelt talked about telling the story, right, with our words, speaking it to other people. And that's hard sometimes, right? Why is it hard? Why do we have a hard time sometimes talking about Jesus?
Society rejects Jesus a lot.
Yeah, that's true. It's tough. People might come back at us, right? Not accept it.
What the speaker told us is that the things that we love the most are easy to talk about, like sports or music. And he said that he still struggles talking about Jesus and preaching because he'd rather talk about like football and the stuff he like really enjoys. And he says he still struggles to this day talking about Jesus and preaching.
Yeah. Right, it's easy to talk about what we love or what we know the best. And that's not, we don't always have that strong of a connection, and we need to if we're going to talk about it. He needs to be the thing that we love the most and the thing that we learn about and know about so that we can talk about it. Yeah.
What was that story about the guy with the tumor? Can you tell us that story?
Who remembers that? You guys were all excited, I remember, and told us that story. What happened? What was it about?
He had a big tumor on his back, and he was going to get surgery. The thing is that once he got the tumor removed, he was never going to be able to walk again. So he's a surfer. Let me finish the story. He was a surfer, and he went surfing one last time. And he was in California, and there was this guy giving baptisms in the ocean, and he saw him and talked to him. And when he went back to to get a surgery, the doctors opened him up, and the tumor was completely gone. And they patched him back up, and when he was laying there, apparently he was preaching to the guy next to him, and he doesn't remember any of it.
Awesome. And so our last talk, Shane Stacy talked to us about being restored, about everything being made right again, restoration. So this story that we're living and telling, what's the end of it? Where's it all going?
Restoration.
Right. And what does that look like? How are we going to be restored? What's that mean?
Putting God in the center.
Yeah, right. God becomes the center, and everything is made the way it was meant to be again. How about this, guys? We talked about this. Is the end that we're heading to, is it all clouds and harps and singing forever and ever? Cocoa Puffs. Is it all just whatever makes us happy, Cocoa Puffs all the time?
No.
No? What is it?
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's awesome. It's heaven and earth becoming one, all of creation being made right and good. And so why does that matter the end and where it's all going. Why does that matter for how we live today?
So we don't get caught up in our own story.
Okay, yeah. Knowing where the story's going, knowing where the future's heading affects what we do now, right? Our actions and how we live are aimed towards that, the end. That's all the questions we have. Those are all the talks we did. Let's do this. Can anyone share with us their favorite part of Challenge? John?
No? One thing.
One word.
Go ahead, John.
My favorite part of Challenge was taking selfies with Lucas, but pretty much all the selfies were with girls. So yeah, meeting just new people, especially girls.
All right. Well, we have a video that we were going to try to show in Sunday school, and we've got just a little bit of time left. So we'd like to show that video because we didn't get time to show it then, and it's really cool. This is a guy who performed before two of our speakers. He's a Christian slam poet. His name is David Bowden, and he's really awesome. He's, like I said, he's kind of crazy. He's a poet, but he's really awesome.
This guy's awesome.
You really need to see him in person, though.
Yeah, because he gets intense.
Oh, yeah. Especially whenever it's like you're sitting there and there's 5,300 people being moved and clapping and hollering, and he gets even more into it than that video. And it's crazy powerful.
We want to thank you guys so much for supporting us, for sending us, for praying for us while we're gone, for welcoming us back. We're going to turn the rest of the time over to Pastor Matt now.
Oh, thanks for sending all of us.
And first, let me take a selfie.